He raised his wristwatch to his face, pressed a button. The dial glowed a gentle blue, which illuminated his face, giving it a haunting, haunted appearance.
5 to midnight. Time to light the candles. Say a few words about the dearly departed. Do the formalities. You coming?
Shadow took a deep breath.
I'm coming.
They walked down the dark motel corridor.
I bought some candles for this, but there were plenty of old ones around, too. Old stumps and stubs and candle ends in the rooms, and in a box in a closet. I don't think I missed any, and I got a box of matches. You start lighting candles with a lighter, the end gets too hot.
They reached room 5.
You want to come in?
Shadow didn't want to enter that room.
Okay.
They went in. Loki took a box of matches from his pocket and thumbnailed a match into flame. The momentary flare hurt Shadow's eyes. A candle wick flickered and caught. And another. Loki lit a new match and continued to light candles. They were on the window sills and on the headboard of the bed and on the sink in the corner of the room. They showed him the room by candlelight. The bed had been hauled from its position against the wall into the middle of the motel room, leaving a few square feet of space between the bed and the wall on each side. There were sheets draped over the bed, old motel sheets, moth-holed and stained, which Loki must have found in a closet somewhere. On top of the sheets lay Wednesday, perfectly still. He was fully dressed in the pale suit he had been wearing when he was shot. The right side of his face was untouched, perfect, unmarred by blood. The left side of his face was a ragged mess, and the left shoulder in front of the suit was spattered with dark spots, a pointillist mess. His hands were at his sides. The expression on that wreck of a face was far from peaceful. It looked hurt, a soul hurt, a real down-deep hurt, filled with hatred and anger and raw craziness. And on some level, it looked satisfied. Shadow imagined Mr. Jackal's practiced hands smoothing that hatred and pain away, rebuilding a face for Wednesday with mortician's wax and makeup, giving him a final peace and dignity that even death had denied him. Still, the body seemed no smaller in death. It had not shrunk, and it still smelled faintly of Jack Daniels. The wind from the plains was rising. He could hear it howling around the old motel at the exact imaginary center of America. The candles on the windowsill guttered and flickered. He could hear footsteps in the hallway. Someone knocked on the door, called,
"Hurry up, please. It's time."
And they began to shuffle in, heads lowered. Town came in first, followed by media and Mr. Nancy and Chernabog. Last of all came the fat kid. He had fresh red bruises on his face, and his lips were moving all the time, as if he were reciting some words to himself, but he was making no sound. Shadow found himself feeling sorry for him. Informally, without a word being spoken, they ranged themselves about the body, each an arm's length away from the next. The atmosphere in the room was religious, deeply religious in a way that Shadow had never previously experienced. There was no sound but the howling of the wind and the crackling of the candles.
"We are come together here in this godless place,"
said Loki,
"to pass on the body of this individual to those who will dispose of it properly according to the rites. If anyone would like to say something, say it now."
"Not me,"
said Town.
"I never properly met the guy. And this whole thing makes me feel uncomfortable."
Chernabog said,
"These actions will have consequences. You know that? This can only be the start of it all."
The fat kid started to giggle, a high-pitched, girlish noise.
Okay, I've got it.
And then, all on one note, he recited,
"Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold."
And then he broke off, his brow creasing.
"Shit, I used to know the whole thing."
And he rubbed his temples and made a face and was quiet. And then they were all looking at Shadow. The wind was screaming now. He didn't know what to say. He said,
"This whole thing is pitiful. Half of you killed him or had a hand in his death. Now you're giving us his body? Great. He was an irascible old fuck, but I drank his mead and I'm still working for him. That's all."
Media said,
In a world where people die every day, I think the important thing to remember is that for each moment of sorrow we get when people leave this world, there's a corresponding moment of joy when a new baby comes into this world. That first wail is, well, it's magic, isn't it? Perhaps it's a hard thing to say, but joy and sorrow are like milk and cookies. That's how well they go together. I think we should all take a moment to meditate on that.
And Mr. Nancy cleared his throat and said,
So, I got to say it because nobody else here will. We are at the center of this place. A land that has no time for gods, and here at the center, it has less time for us than anywhere. It is a no-man's land, a place of truce, and we observe our truces here. We have no choice. So, you give us the body of our friend. We accept it. You will pay for this. Murder for murder. Blood for blood.
Town said,
Whatever. You could save yourselves a lot of time and effort by going back to your homes and shooting yourselves in the heads. Cut out the middleman.
Fuck you,
said Chernabog.
Fuck you, and fuck your mother, and fuck the fucking horse you fucking rode in on. You will not even die in battle. No warrior will taste your blood. No one alive will take your life. You will die a soft, poor death. You will die with a kiss on your lips and a lie in your heart.
Leave it, old man.
The blood-dimmed tide is loose,
said the fat kid.
I think that comes next.
The wind howled.
Okay,
said Loki.
He's yours. We're done. Take the old bastard away.
He made a gesture with his fingers, and Town, Media, and the fat kid left the room. He smiled at Shadow.
Call no man happy, huh, kid?
He said, and then he too walked away.
What happens now?
Now we wrap him up,
said Anansi.
And we take him away from here.
They wrapped the body in the motel sheets, wrapped it well in its impromptu shroud so there was no body to be seen, and they could carry it. The two men walked to each end of the body, but Shadow said,
Let me see something.
And he bent his knees and slipped his arms around the white-sheeted figure, pushed him up and over his shoulder. He straightened his knees until he was standing, more or less easily.
Okay, I've got him. Let's put him back in the car.
Chernabog looked as if he were about to argue, but he closed his mouth. He spat on his forefinger and thumb and began to snuff the candles between his fingertips. Shadow could hear them fizz as he walked from the darkening room. Wednesday was heavy, but Shadow could cope if he walked steadily. He had no choice. Wednesday's words were in his head with every step he took along the corridor, and he could taste the sour sweetness of mead in the back of his throat.
You work for me. You protect me. You help me. You transport me from place to place. You investigate from time to time. Go places and ask questions for me. You run errands. In an emergency, but only in an emergency, you hurt people who need to be hurt. In the unlikely event of my death, you will hold my vigil.
A deal was a deal, and this one was in his blood and in his bones. Mr. Nancy opened the motel lobby door for him, then hurried over and opened the back of the bus. The other four were already standing by their Humvee, watching them as if they could not wait to be off. Loki had put his driver's cap back on. The cold wind whipped at the sheets, tugged at Shadow as he walked. He placed Wednesday down as gently as he could in the back of the bus. Someone tapped him on the shoulder. He turned. Town stood there with his hand out. He was holding something.
Here,
said Mr. Town.
Mr. World wanted you to have this.
It was a glass eye. There was a hairline crack down the middle of it and a tiny chip gone from the front.
We found it in the Masonic Hall when we were cleaning up. Keep it for luck. God knows you'll need it.
Shadow closed his hand around the eye. He wished he could come back with something smart and sharp and clever, but Town was already back at the Humvee, and climbing up into the car, and Shadow still couldn't think of anything clever to say.